This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Why does it matter to stock and bond markets near you if a property developer in China gets into trouble? I'm David Brancaccio. While the Dow fell more than 600 points yesterday, the most in a day since the spring, stock indexes in the U.S. are up in early trading this morning, with the Dow up 315 points now, 0.9%. The S&P and the NASDAQ are each up 0.8%. At the center of the volatility, a big property developer and investment company in China called Evergrande that's teetering near insolvency, according to the ratings agency S&P. The senior economist at that club of richer countries, the OECD, did say today she believes Chinese officials do have policy options to, quote, buffer the shock to keep Evergrande's troubles from rattling the entire financial system. Following this closely is Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
Why does a company across the world have the capacity to shake up stock markets everywhere?
That is a terrific question. And the answer is the fear of contagion, which is already spreading to some extent in the Chinese market. Evergrande is not just the second biggest property developer. They're also the biggest bond issuer in China. They've issued a ton of junk rated debt. And one of the reasons people bought that debt is they thought the company was too big to fail. They thought the Chinese government would come in and cover those bonds if Evergrande failed to pay. The fact the Chinese government's been quiet on this so far has got people really nervous. And what we've seen in China is that other property developers' debt has started to drop as well. The average junk bond in China is selling at 85 cents on the dollar. It doesn't sound like much, but that's a 15% drop. It's a repricing of the whole bond market.
I'm Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The Biden administration is easing international travel restrictions. Fully vaccinated foreign travelers from more than 30 countries, including China, India, Brazil, and most of Europe, will be able to come by air starting in November. And there are many U.S. businesses waiting with open arms. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has that.
For 12 years, Priscilla and Ray Briones have been running a sightseeing business in New York City, mostly for Brazilian visitors. But during the pandemic, it's been scaled way back. They found other work.
I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, so I've been doing part-time teaching self-defense. Uber is what saved us. Other than that, you know, we're still waiting.
While they say it's good news the restrictions are lifted, they aren't planning to quit their other jobs.
We can't rely on tourism anymore.
Yes.
Because it's so volatile and it's going to be volatile for a while.
They don't expect business to recover until the end of 2022 at the earliest. Still, Roger Dow, who heads the U.S. Travel Association, points out there were 80 million foreign visitors to the U.S. in 2019, before the pandemic.
So even if it starts out slow and we only get half that amount over the next year, that's 40 or 50 million visitors.
He says U.S. tourist businesses in warmer areas are gearing up to host foreign travelers this winter. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
In the next couple months, President Biden is set to fill some key positions at the powerful Federal Reserve. Will the current chair, Jay Powell, stay in? There's also the Fed's vice chair for supervision, a job created after the great financial crisis of 2008. Behind that somewhat wonky title is a lot of power over big banks. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The Fed Vice Chair for Supervision is supposed to limit risk to the financial system and is basically the Fed's top banking cop, enforcing Dodd-Frank mandates like requiring big banks to have a sort of rainy day fund and submit to regular stress tests to prove they can withstand a crisis. But Karen Dinan, a former Fed economist now teaching at Harvard, says the law is vague.
And that's where there's leeway for the regulators as led by the vice chair for supervision.
The current vice chair for supervision is Randall Quarles. His term ends next month. Quarles was nominated by former President Trump, and he decided to roll back some Dodd-Frank regulations. Quarles spearheaded new rules that tell banks what they'll be tested on ahead of time. That did not make Dennis Kelleher happy. He's head of Better Markets, which advocates for stronger financial regulations.
If you're provided the questions to a test before you take the test, you're going to do a lot better on that test.
Kelleher would like whoever replaces Quarles to reverse that, but that wouldn't be easy. Any changes the vice chair for supervision wants to make to bank regulation have to be approved by the Fed Board of Governors, says Yale finance professor William English. He's a former Fed economist and senior advisor.
They can move the board in kind of the direction that they choose, but only so far, because in the end, the board's going to have a vote. And if the votes aren't there, the votes aren't there.
English expects whoever President Biden nominates for the vice chair for supervision job to try to move the board in the direction of new rules on how banks manage emerging threats like climate change.
So you want to be sure that banks, when they make loans, are taking appropriate account of the risks that they may face from more and larger hurricanes.
A White House official wouldn't tell me when President Biden will nominate a new vice chair for supervision, only saying the president will appoint someone who, quote, will be the most effective in implementing monetary policy. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Thanks, Nancy. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.